people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas time brings about different customs. One of the most popular customs is Christmas decorations. You look around our sanctuary, you can see that we are abiding by the custom. In pagan times, the northern Europeans brought evergreens indoors. During the winter time, to serve as a reminder that life would return with the spring. And some evergreen plants, such as the mistletoe, were thought to be magical. It is said that if two enemies met under a branch of mistletoe, they would drop their weapons and embrace. We also use holly. Well, it's associated with the crown of thorns that Jesus wore. We also have the wreath, which means the continuation of life through winter. Every Christmas wreath that you look at ought to remind you that life never ends with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then we have the Christmas tree, which was introduced in the 1700s, didn't become real popular to the 1800s. And now in almost every home, in some of your homes, you have more than one tree. As a reminder that it's Christmas time. The poinsettia. A bright tropical plant was designed by Joel Poinsettia, a U.S. minister to Mexico in the 1800s. The green, standing for the continuation of life. The red, symbolic of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, let me tell you something. We have the mistletoe, we have the tree decorated, we have the wreaths, and we have the poinsettia. Do you realize that everything that we use to celebrate Christmas can point to the Christ of Christmas?
Amen.
But there's another tradition. That is the stockings being hung by the fireplace. How many of you right now still hang stockings at the fireplace? Raise your hand. I am 52 years of age. And up to recently, my mom still fixed us a stocking that hung filled with gifts and toys. Stockings are hung waiting on who? Saint Nick the God. And most of the time they'll be filled with candy and with fruit and small toys. What would Jesus have wanted in his life? If a stocking was hung in that stable that day, what would Jesus want in his stocking? And if a stocking was hung in this sanctuary today, and on the top of it it said Jesus, what would he want in his stocking? Well, let me tell you this. Here's what I think he'd want most of all. Souls.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
I think Jesus would want every man, woman, boy, and girl to come to the realization that they need him. You never really celebrate Christmas unless you really, fully know the Christ of Christmas.
Amen.
So he wanted souls. I think Jesus also would have wanted love. We are in a world that's full of hatred. If you don't believe that, stop sometime and watch CNN. And you will discover that we're in a world that is absolutely filled with hatred. And Jesus didn't come to fill us with hatred. He came to fill us with love.
Amen.
He'd want love. He'd want souls. He'd want life. Some of us live our lives as if we're dead already. Can I remind you, thank God that your heart still beats inside of you. Thank God that you're still being able to breathe the air. Is not enjoying life. I'll tell you, no matter what you're facing, Thank you, Lord. Love, life, and laughter. He likes it when his people enjoy worship to him. We act as if worship is a dread and a drudgery. I've got news for you. Coming to church is not a dread and drudgery. You ought to look forward to meeting where Jesus meets. You ought to learn what people say. Oh, I'm going to laugh in church. Why not? I think we're going to laugh when we get to heaven. That's right. We may even laugh some amazed that some people made it to heaven when we didn't think was going to make it to heaven. Learn what laughter's all. If he didn't want us to laugh, he would have told us in the Old Testament how that laughter is a good medicine. It's better than anything you can take that any doctor anywhere can prescribe for you. Guess what? You ought to get happy in Jesus. In Jesus. So I think he wanted a lot of things in his stockings. Well, I discovered something. When I read the story of the birth of Jesus, I discover that a group of people brought Jesus what he really wanted and placed before him. And it's a group that's called the Magi, or the wise men, and they came from the east. If you got your Bible, you can go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. They were originally a priestly group from the east. They later were recognized as teachers of religion and science. And this group one day saw a star. And the star caught their attention. And the star, because of its brightness over the little town which was nestled on the east side, one of Judea's hills. And they began to follow the star. Listen. The greatest star is not what we call the movie star. The greatest star that's ever existed was the star hanging in the sky. Amen. They followed that star. And when the wise men got to where they were going, where the star seemingly stopped, they gave to Jesus what Jesus would have wanted. Now, how many of you get gifts all the time that you really don't need, you really don't like, and you ooh it all, and you're so thankful for what has just been given to you when you know deep down inside you really don't want it? That's right. And lo and behold, the gift that you've been given, you can go to Goodwill about the second week of January, and there's the gift that you gave somebody. Well, these guys brought to Jesus what he deserved, what he wanted. Let's look at it. What did they place in his stocking? I think the most thing that Jesus would have wanted that day and wants today is adoration. Amen. It says when they came to the house, not to manger. He's already got out of the manger. Let me remind you, church, if you go back to the manger looking for Jesus, it's it.
Amen.
Amen. If you go to the cross looking for Jesus, thank God the cross is it.
Amen.
If you go to the tomb looking for Jesus, thank God the tomb is it.
Amen.
I'll tell you where you'll find Jesus sitting at the right hand of his Father waiting for the cue from God the Father to come get us. And so they didn't find him. You know what? They would have missed him if they went to the manger. And so many of you go back to the manger and you're still missing Jesus. The reason you're missing Jesus is he's not there any longer, thank God. So when they came into the house, they found the mother and the young child. They had followed that old star very diligently. And here's what it says. When they saw the child, they worshiped him. They adored this child. I think today we've lost our adoration. listen for the Lord. Can I remind you on this Sunday morning of the month of December, let me remind you of something. Those who look for Jesus will find Jesus. And those who truly seek Jesus, after looking for Jesus and finding Jesus, you can't help but worship Jesus. Listen, you can't help it. When you look into the face of Jesus and realize what He's done for you, you've got to, church. You've got to bow down and adore Him.
Amen.
He wants us to. And He wants us to do it ready. I think we ought to adore the Christ child. I think we ought to adore the dying Christ. I think we ought to adore the risen Christ. And I think we ought to adore the soon coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If we're looking for Obama and the other leaders of this world to bring peace, it ain't going to happen. I'll tell you, there's one on the way that will bring peace. Now, how did they do it? Well, they had the proper position. It says they fell down on their faces before Him. You know what that meant? A sign of humility. Some of us in this room are so big and bad and bold that we'll never worship the Lord like we ought to. You know why? We're too ashamed to bow ourselves before Him. Can I tell you today, you are to come humbly before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and realize that what you've got is because of Him. Humble yourself. You're not what you think you are. You can stand in front of the mirror and admire your beauty and say, oh, look at me. I'm so good looking and I'm so pretty. I don't hope you didn't do that. But I'll tell you one thing. You are absolutely ugly to the bone if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You better recognize what we just sung. No better course to sing than what we just sung. You better recognize that He is everything and we are nothing.
Amen.
And can I remind Cedar Grove, God is still in charge and thank God He is our everything.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, hallelujah.
Amen. Fall on your face, prostrate before Him and realize that you're nothing but an old sinner who needed a Savior. And thank God, Jesus took the wheel.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The proper position. How long's it been since you got on your knees and worshiped the Lord? You got to do it humbly. If there's no humility, there is no worship. When you think you're just as good as God, you'll never worship God. When you think you're as smart as He is, you'll never ask Him for anything. Can I tell you today, we are dummies in need of a Savior, and Jesus fits that bill.
Amen.
Amen.
If you found Christ, you're about before Him.
Amen.
And I will tell you, if you really know Christ, and when you sing like we sung today, and the Spirit of God shows up, and you don't adore Him, there is something absolutely wrong with your salvation.
Amen.
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 Something wrong. People say, well, I wasn't taught to show any outward emotion. I wasn't taught. I was taught to be quiet, not to let anybody know what was going on. I've been taught. Let me remind you, you've been taught wrong. The Bible teaches us that there ought to be praise and worship when we come to the house of the Lord. If you want quietness, go to the funeral home chapel. If you want to feel the upbeat presence of God, you ought to be able to walk in this sanctuary and know that we serve a living Lord.
Amen.
Proper position. You can't adore Him until you get on your knees and ask Him to forgive you of your arrogance and your attitude and your actions. They had the proper position, but did you notice something else? In their adoration, they had the proper person. It says they worshiped him. They didn't spend any time at the feet of Mary. They worshiped him. And they didn't talk about Mary, how beautiful she was, and how pretty she was, and how grateful they were for her. No, no, no. They didn't have time to worry about Mary. When their eyes fell on Jesus, that's all they needed to see. The only one who deserves our adoration is the Lord. They didn't give honor to Herod. No, they stopped bowing Herod. But they didn't give honor to Herod when everybody else was bowing down to him. They didn't show any loyal grandeur to Herod. But they sure did when they got to this baby. Probably around 2 years of age now. Guess what? They admired this young boy, for it wasn't just the young boy. Thank God it was God manifest in the flesh, standing right before their very eyes, and something was radiating off this child that they'd never seen before and never felt before. When I got close to Jesus that day as a no-count filthy sinner, there was something radiating off of Jesus I had never seen before. There was something coming off of him I had never felt before. And guess what I had to do? I had to fall on my knees and recognize that I needed him. And when I prayed a simple prayer, Jesus Christ moved in my heart.
Amen.
Amen. We want to worship everybody else. Preachers and persons don't deserve our worship. Jesus does. Presidents and leaders don't deserve our worship. Jesus does. Movie stars and singers don't need our praise. Jesus does.
Amen.
Jesus does. Christ wants our adoration with the proper position, and he's the proper person. There's one other thing. The proper presentation. On down in that verse, it talks about what they brought. That's what he said. Fell down and worshiped him, and when they opened their treasures, they opened up their treasures. You know what most of us want? What we get from the Lord. I'm going to ask you a serious question today. What are you giving back to him? That's right. Can I name some things the Lord's already given you? Can I name some things? Guess what? The heart that beats inside of you is a gift from God. The air that you breathe is a gift from God. The clothes that you got on your back is a gift from God. Can I tell you? His presence is a gift from God. His daily provisions is a gift from God. His protecting angels around us is a gift from God. Guess what? His soon coming to this world is a gift from God for us. The mansion that's being prepared is a gift from God. The heat that runs in our houses that heat them, and the air conditioning that runs and cools them. Of course, ain't nothing running in here. I'm about to die. God. But everything comes from the Lord. What have you given to the Lord? They had the proper presentation. Here's what they brought. They brought their substance. It says they brought their gold. They presented him their goods, their material wealth. Everything that they had summed up in that gold, they brought to Jesus. Everything we have should be presented back to God. Let me just go ahead and tell you one little thing. You hold your tithes back all you want to. Can I tell you something? They don't belong to you to start with. They belong to God.
Right.
Hurt the church all you want to, by holding back your money and saying, I don't like this, I don't like him, I don't like this, I don't like it, so I'm just going to hold my money. Let me tell you what you're doing. You're failing to give to God what already belongs to God. And guess what? Sooner or later, God will get what belongs to him. Got to get it. Spend your time in the hospital all you want. Spend your time in the doctor's office all you want. But I'll tell you one thing. What belongs to God, God can get back what belongs to him. And he will get back what belongs to him. He wants us to give him ourselves. The job that you have is a gift from God. The money you make is a gift from God. Guess what? Everything you have, he wants us to bring ourselves in. He wants us to bring everything we've got and lay it on the altar and say, okay, Lord, here it is. Thank you for giving it to me. I'm giving it back to you.
Amen.
There's substance. You know what the problem is? It's not the problem that we're not giving our money. The problem is this. Some of us have never given them ourselves to start. You give yourself to Jesus, I'll tell you one thing, Jesus get everything else belongs to it.
Amen.
That's where it's at. That's where it's at.
Amen.
Hey, I wish I had time. I don't have time. Some of you get mad. But listen, let me tell you something. Every time I read through this Bible, I discover something. That every time somebody would find Christ, they immediately wanted to give him something. They wanted to give him something. When you really worship Christ and adore him, you'll want to give him something.
Amen.
And you give because of what? You know why you give? Love.
Amen.
Can everybody say love?
Love.
Love. Listen. You can give without love. But you can't love without giving.
Amen.
Love. 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 They brought their sons. Everything. Their gold. They brought frankincense. You know what that was? They brought their supplication. This was a substance that sent up a sweet smell to heaven. A deep incision is made in the bark of a tree, and a narrow strip of bark below the incision is peeled away. Then it's taken and it's heated. And in several months it is a shaped oval, round and square. And it's used on special days for incense. They'd burn it. And what a sweet aroma would go up to heaven. It was also used as a perfume representing man's inner thoughts and emotions. It is as if the Lord wants to pour us to pour out our emotions on him. All that within us bows before him. He wants us to present ourselves to him in supplication. They didn't tickle the little child under the chin. They didn't grab the little boy and hold him to their breast and cradle him. No, they brought him incense. Prayer and praise is only due to God. You know what? We need to stop embracing the baby and start embracing the King of Kings.
Amen.
And the Lord of Kings.
Amen.
There's substance. There's supplication. And they brought myrrh. There's sorrow. This stands for sorrow. Myrrh. Do you know what the Lord wants us to do with our pains and our heartaches and our problems and our frustrations? You know what he wants us to do with them? Bring them to him. Bring them to him. Bring them to him. For you know something? Jesus cares about us. Did you hear that about me? Jesus cares about you. Did you hear that forward? Jesus cares about you.
Amen.
One of the, listen, Did you hear that? Jesus cares about us. You know what? There was also a spies for him, Bob. One good thing about it, they might have used them bombing spies on Jesus, but it didn't have to be used long. When they embalm me, they're going to drain the blood out of me. They're going to pretty me up a little bit, put a little bit of makeup to make me look a little bit better than what I look now. It's amazing to me that a lot of people look better dead than they ever looked alive. You ever notice that? No, I'll tell you, if you pass by me, you better brag. Boy, he looks the best he's ever looked. They're going to embalm me, drain the blood out of my body. But I'll tell you one thing. They didn't drain the blood out of Jesus' body. Thank God on the third day, he was very much alive. Amen. As he was before he ever went in that place. Jesus wants us to put our adoration in him. In a moment, Leslie's going to do a song right here that ties in. She's going to do a song that's going to fit in right here with what I'm talking about. And here's what it is. That God is with us. Oh,